God said it, I love you. Now, when God says that I love you, you can take that one to the spiritual depth of the bank of God. When God says I love you, he is saying there's never going to be a point to where my love will cease. I love you. I love you when you're right. I love you when you're wrong. But God just doesn't want to see us hurt because of the wrongness that we get involved with. It's called sin. Now, Christians, please listen. Sin is going to happen and will continue to happen as long as you're in that body. And yes, you will be a sinner. Saved, but a sinner. Did you ever stop to think of how many sins? No, we haven't. Just the sins of omission. Sins to where we know we should have done that, but nobody knows we should have done it that way, so therefore, I'm just not going to do it. Lord, nobody really knew that you called me to preach, so I figure if I keep it quiet long enough, nobody will even dream that you call me to preach. Those are all sins. And God says, I looked at you before time began. You and I are products of God's love. You and I are proof that God is still working with us. Is Owen in there? Hold Owen up. I want folks to see him. Our great-grandson. Anyway. Now, that's proof. God says, I'm going to put up with you a little while longer. God says, I want to show you my love. Now, speaking love is one thing. Experiencing love from the one who speaks it is a totally different thing. God said, before time began, I knew you, had you on my heart. There is a word that frightens many Southern Baptists. I grew up being frightened of this word. It's called predestination. And now people said, do you really believe in predestination? Yes. But I believe in the predestination God's way. God said, I want you to understand, I have set things in order. I have set all that exists in order, in my order. And there will be a time and a place for everything under the sun. There will be a time when the sun will shine and a time when it will not. There will be times for good and times for evil. But he said, I'm the one that set this all in place. The fall of the Christian church in America can be pointed back to the worshipers within that church who refuse to believe that God has called each one of us to minister in the name of his son. I'm not the only minister in this church. If you're a Christian, you're called by God to preach, to teach. You just do it a different way, maybe. But we're still called. Each one of us. Do we not understand God's word when he says to us, I have made you all priests through Jesus Christ. Before time began, God predestined that time would begin. And God said, time will begin at my time. And I have predestined, meaning when God says this is going to happen at this time, you're not going to change it. Oh, it goes right back to our living and dying. God says there is an appointment. There is an appointed time for you to leave this earth. Now, here's what we keep forgetting. Well, you know, and we keep saying this, and please, quit saying it, Christians. Well, you know, what's the sense of me praying for somebody? Because if it's their time to go, they're going. Well, if it's God's appointed time for them to leave, you're right. You're absolutely right. But God has given us the free will. How a sovereign God gives us the free will. Now, Larry, I've appointed a time for you to live and a time for you to die. I would not have done well in my mother's generation 102 years ago. Well, you have to walk to school, and we know all those stories. Snow up to your waist, uphill both ways, you know. And we had to shoot a rabbit on the way so that we'd have something for dinner. The Baptist just had to catch a chicken. That's all we would do. But I want you to think of this. God looks at you and he looks at me. And he says, I've made you special. Every person is made special by God. There's not anybody created that's not special. Created that way by God Almighty, our Father. And he said, I have predestined it to be so. God sets his world in order. He sets his order of the world in our heart. He extends his gift of grace, forgiveness, and faith through the love of his Son. What else do we want? What else do we need from God? God says, if you need something, why don't you ask? If you need me, when you hear me knocking, why don't you open the door? If you will pay attention to the knock at your heart's door, and you will pay attention because it's going to be plenty loud for you to hear it. Unless you decide to put the earphones on and blast it out. And I'm talking about the earphones of life. I'm talking about the earphones of, woe is me, Lord. I can't help it. I just hurt so bad. Woe is me. Don't be Navy folks, be Marines. I'm sorry, I could not pass that up. But please listen. God says, I'm going to bless you. Did you know that you are a blessing to others right around you? Do you know that you're a blessing to your family? And do you realize the blessing you are to others that don't even know your name? Because they are blessed because you was a part of their life for a split second in a line at one of the shopping centers, at a beach. I don't care where you are. God said, I got a reason for you. And we need to be looking in our life because the Lord says, I've already turned the light on. All you have to do is open your eyes and I will show. I've already poured out my Son's blood for you. What else do we want from God? Yes, I believe in predestination. I believe that Almighty God had a set time for his Son to come, for the world to be created, for the light and the darkness to be separated. It's all in his timing, predestined. And he warns us, Christians, and the whole world. Now, I've predestined your day of leaving that body. Did you know that you can't change that? Do you know, on that predestined time for you and me to leave, not all the doctors in the world can help us. And if they could, I don't want them to. But the Lord says, now here's what's killing you. Your own foolishness. I give you the free will to have a bad case of the stupids. I just don't expect you to continue it all the time. And if you go out and start swearing how what a great Christian you are, I'll show you. I'm standing in front of the Mack truck. We're going to have a Mack truck funeral. Because you're going to die. Don't tempt God with that. God says, I want you to pray for one another. Now, if it's not your appointed time, I'm going to pray for you and I'll ask God, God, please, if it is not their appointed time to live, whatever the problem is in their life, I pray for you to touch their body. I pray for you to give them that healing so they can continue in the army that you set them in, the army of God. God said, I'll answer that prayer. I wonder how many times Christians have entered the gates of heaven and not one prayer had went up for them. I wonder when God looks to the depth of our hearts, you and I, as children of God, does he see light or does he see the darkness of the world? Does he see his love that he has for me shared to a world that doesn't understand what true love is all about? You and I, as children of God, were predestined to stand up for the Word of God and for what God has told us to stand up for. That is, tell the world, yes, there's an answer, and that answer happens to be in the name of Jesus Christ, the very Son of the living God. No other name. You can shout all the other names. You can print them. You can threaten to kill us. You can do all these other things. It's not going to change who Jesus is. He's still our Savior. He's still Lord of our life. Did you know that in God's predestination, that when he looked at his Son, as a matter of fact, if you'll read that book called the Bible I keep telling you all about, you will find out that Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, was looking on what was going to happen when Jesus came as a human being. Well, can you explain that one, Brother Larry? I can't even explain why Jesus loves me. Much less. But you know, there's something that makes us different. I believe it. I know it. I know I'm saved. Whether anybody said, I don't know what saved means. Well, I'm sorry for you. But I do. And God said, I have predestined my Son, my only begotten Son. He's coming. All the prophets of the Old Testament kept pointing to the day that when the true Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, would come, and not any of the religious leaders paid any attention to it, and they sure did miss a great birthday. But the shepherds got it. The animals saw it. The stars in heaven twinkle. The angels were there. And God says, it is time, son. That predestined time was about 2,000 years ago. And Jesus Christ was born. And God says, now that my son is there, I want you to know, my son is ushering in the beginning of the end of the age. It's the beginning of the end of the age, which we call the church age. My son has come to take care of you, to touch your heart, to show you my love. And he has that authority direct from me. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love You see, that's what love is. Love is something that's done through demonstration, not just words. It's demonstrating that I love you. And God says, I've demonstrated my love for you in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, folks, if you're one of those that want to tell everybody, now, I'm going to give you an outline here, and I want you to work up to being good enough, and here's when you're going to be saved. The best thing you do with that outline, put it in a shredder or trash can. God says, I got this. And when God says, I got this, and God says, I got you, believe it. He has it. So he said, I'm going to show you how much I love you. And remember, Jesus, his son, tells us that he never spoke a word in his human life that God did not give him to speak. Think of that one. And you think a lot on it for all of next year. I'm focusing right now on the words in red. See, God's got us, you and I. Parents, why do you pray for your kids when they go off to college? And not just because you remember how you acted. There's other reasons, right? You know that you can't be with them all the time. You can't be with them when they go into the service. You can't be with them when they leave home. But once again, let me tell you this. Home, Christian, should be the place to where any child, any loved one, can always come and know as soon as they walk through that door, they can shut the world out because in that house, there's love. They're welcome. And in that welcome, they know that a Father in heaven sent his Son so he would have us. See, from the beginning, God said, I'm going to have offspring. Oh, you can imagine what was going on in those days. Really, yeah. He's going to have offspring. He was predestined to die, the Son of God. And our adoption was predestined. See, God set me up, you up, to be adopted. It's predestined. Because he says to us, the predestination pathway is Jesus, my Son. He's the door. He's the one that is there. And when you go by his path, which is narrow, I promise you, that path is the path that I've set for you, and you are predestined to live with me in eternity forever. Not because of what you know, what you have, or any of the other stuff. It's all about who you know. And I know Jesus, and I'm an adopted child of God. Ephesians 1:5. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. Gosh, I think I've read somewhere. I might have said it. Think of it. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure. It pleased God to create you. I know you're going to like that one. He might be the only one that's pleased because you're in life. But you please God. And as you go through life, you'll know more about what I just said. But God says, you're still my child. You're still a part of my family. And I take care of family. I love you. So we have Jesus' predestined death plus our predestined adoption. Meaning, there's only one way, and that's Jesus. That's the predestined part. The only door. The only path. No other path except for the path that Jesus himself has shown us. And he says, I'll be with you on that path. Aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is with you when you get in that vehicle to drive down the road or walk down the road? Have you witnessed lately how many people get up of a morning and they don't return to their home at night? Look in the towns surrounding us and including Elizabethtown, our own city, Vine Grove and all, where people just get up and kill someone else. Why did you kill them? I don't know. Made me mad. God says, I love you enough to give you protection. Every day my son puts on a police uniform, I realize the danger. But it's grown deeper than that now for many of us that fought in combat. Now I'm beginning to worry about the innocent that don't put on the uniform. They just walk out of their house and someone kills them because they're a Christian or does everything that possible to destroy them because of the name of Jesus. Now, even though the Scripture tells us to rejoice, for they did the same thing to Jesus, you and I have a hard time with that. My pastor friends have a hard time when churches attempt to destroy their family just because they're mad at the pastor for something he preached. I'm mightily blessed, folks, to have a congregation like you. And God says to us, yes, I know where you will be on this date. I know who you'll be sitting beside, and I know who you'll have in your heart. I'll know who you're thanking for the blessings you have. Do we hear that, America? Do we understand truly that Almighty God has blessed this nation far beyond any of the other nations that we have ever known? He handpicked His own nation, called it Israel, the Hebrew nation, and His own people turned against Him. Is that happening to America today? Has it happened to the point to where God will come down and He will look and say, where are my people? Is that what His Son meant when He said, when the Son of Man comes, that's on His return, will He find faith on earth? Well, Lord, your church is here. He didn't change that. Will He find faith? As I remind you again, He says, judgment begins at the house of God. I'm going to look at the heart because I have predestined that my Son is the only way. That definite article, remember the. It's specific to the noun right after it. And God says, I've set it up. His predestined death, our predestined adoption, it equals our predestined eternal life. And Jesus is predestined eternal family. That's what it is. Do we not sing in the family of God all the time? Do we let songs go through our mind and out the other side so often? I remember that song. But, you know, sort of like Scripture. I remember the Scripture, but I just can't remember the words. I always like that one. Folks, my salvation is not based on my memory. My salvation is not based on what I do. Everything is already done. My salvation is based on who Jesus is, what He has already done. And God says, when I set it up to be thus, thus it shall be. I still love the old English. I'm in control. 1 John 5, verses 11 and 12. And this is the testimony. Here I go again. No other testimony. The. Specific. Definite. the testimony, God has given us eternal life. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. All right. If we don't understand that one, we're hurting. Well, now, yeah, I know that, Brother Larry, but you know, some things you got to do to keep it. Well, then you tell me what you did to get it in the first place, and I'll share with you the scripture of how you truly are saved. Well, would we Southern Baptists be bragging all the way to heaven? It's bad enough right now the way it is. I want you to go out and win this many for the Southern Baptists. I'd much rather win them to Jesus. I'd much rather focus on them having a relationship with Jesus Christ rather than having a religion based on a doctrine, a man that he decides this is the way it should be. The way it should be has already been said. God predestined it so. Whether the world goes against us or not. See, we're going to die. Do you know why you have to die? Because you can't be in heaven in this body. We cannot come in the presence of God in this earthly body. So that happens to be a blessing. People say, oh no, he's dead. Well, that's a blessing from God, folks, if you're a Christian. The Lord says, okay, come on home. I don't see anything so bad about that. But here's one thing that I need to keep preaching to myself and to you all. That's fine. I accept that. But I do not have a right to just lay down and give up and say, I'm going to heaven. If you said yes to Jesus Christ, you're right. You are. But let me give you this word. There's a lot of people that aren't. There's a lot of people that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Are you a Christian? Well, I'm Catholic. Are you a Christian? I'm Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist. The question is, do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life? Have you had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Then you serve in a church, in a body of believers together that will lift Jesus up in your life and you will lift Jesus up in their life. Please forget all the other foolishness, the power struggles and all of that. I can tell you who's already won. His name's Jesus. Now, most of you all realize that, and I've told you enough, that one thing, and this I really do, I always start at the last chapter of any book to see if I want to go back and read the whole thing. I just don't want to waste my time if it doesn't end like I want it to end. So I'd encourage you, get your Bible, read Revelation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, penned and given to us by John the Beloved Disciple. And you will find that he wins. Now, why in the world do I want to be foolish enough? I may have been a foolish Marine, but I'm not foolish enough to think that when God says, here's the end, if I read that book first, then I better have enough common sense and spiritual guidance to believe it. And if I believe it, why would I want to end my life early? Why would I want not to glorify God with every breath that he has given me? Verse 12 of 1 John 5. He who has the Son, I'm not going to get that out of my mind, am I? The Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Well, preacher, what is hell? That's eternally dying but never able to die. Here's you something else you can look up in your scripture. The resurrection of the dead in Christ We shall be resurrected in a glorified body, just like Jesus, remember? Or if in the rapture, we will be moving up towards God and we will be changed in the air to the glorified body. Do you realize that people who do not accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior live eternally in the human existence where they cannot die? The scripture says they'll cry for the rocks and the mountains. They'll cry for death, but death will not come. That's hell. You know why earth is as close to hell as I'm going and any other Christian is going? Because earth is a gift to us by God. And since He has given us this planet, we've done nothing but try to destroy it and turn our back on God's Word. We fuss and fume over nothing. We watch state after state unable to even grow the crops because there's a tadpole in that water somewhere and they're just not allowed to use it. God said, I'm the one that set the rules. I can clean it up just like I can clean you up. I'm excited because one day I do get to stand, just like you if you're Christian, before the judgment seat of Christ. And the scripture lets us know that at that judgment seat, all the things we have done, good, bad, and ugly, anything bad, the ugly part, will be cast away. That Jesus is shining us up to introduce us to His Father. Now that's the scripture. It has always been, since God predestined existence, that Jesus would be our Savior. Let's pray. Father, we lift our voice to You, knowing that You are the one who gives us love for one another. Thank You, Father, for putting up with us. Praise Your name, Heavenly Father, for the love that You share with us on a continuing basis. Thank You, Father, for loving us when we're wrong and loving us when we're right. I ask now, Father, that as You touch each heart, that You will give us the love for one another, to lift one another up, to be at peace with each other, and to listen to Your word of life, that we might be able to share that word with those who do not know it. Thank You for Jesus, Father, and all that He has given us. We ask now Your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.